Welcome to the Link Podcast. Thanks for listening. The Link is the college and young adults gathering of Christian Life Cathedral located in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You can visit our website at linknwa.com. We hope you enjoyed this week's message.
All right, you're in for a treat tonight because I'm not speaking. Yeah! Woo! Praise God. No, I'm not speaking, but someone very significant to me, someone very beautiful. In fact, she's just fine. I mean, she's just hot. I mean, she's just smoking hot. And she is carrying my baby. Praise Jesus. I want to invite my wife, Afsana Rowe, to the stage. She's incredible. Got that little baby bump. Look at that. Hey, that's my son. Look at that. And she's also recently, ladies, this is directly to the ladies. So if you're a lady in here, this is for you. She recently took over as the women's director here at Christian Life Cathedral. Yeah. And she will be designing Bible studies, mentorship opportunities, and ways for women to grow in community with one another and grow in their relationship with God. And so if you don't know her, ladies, please get acquainted with her. And she wants to get you connected within community so that you can begin to grow, okay? So, without further ado, my beautiful wife, Afsana.
Wow. That was a great introduction. Thank you, babe. When he was talking about him having a confession, it reminded me that earlier today I called him, and I was like, babe, I have to make a confession. I'm really craving Taco Bell, and I'm about to go get it. And this is like a big inside joke for us. Like, we like hold each other accountable not to eat Taco Bell. And I was like, I'm confessing. He's like, wait, you're about to go do it? And I was like, yeah, I need to confess. He's like, no, that's not how confession works. You're supposed to do it after the fact, and you're supposed to repent. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me call you in about 30 minutes, and I'll confess. So no, just kidding. Anyway, so last week, that had nothing to do with anything. I just wanted to share that. So last week, if you were here, we did get to celebrate our baby gender reveal. So if you were here, that was really fun. Confetti was everywhere. I don't know if Mallory's here, but woo to her. Yeah, she vacuumed the first part, and then Grant stayed after to vacuum because it got everywhere. I'm still finding little confetti pieces all over our house. I don't know if they'll ever go away. That's fine. It's great. It was worth it. But yeah, we're halfway through the pregnancy, super excited. And I swore to myself that when I became pregnant, I would not become that mom or that mom-to-be that is like obsessed with baby, everything, talking baby, thinking baby, but there's no controlling it. It just kind of takes over. So next time you talk to me, it will probably come up, all right? If I'm going to be preaching a message, I will probably say something about pregnancy because it kind of is all-consuming, honestly. So all that to say, whatever season you're in, ask God to speak to you regarding that season, okay? Because regardless of where you're at, God wants to use that season. God wants to speak to you specifically. And so that's what I've been asking him to do. I've been saying, Lord, if I'm going to go through this 9-month period of craziness, teach me something. Speak to me. And he has. And for those of you who are in my SFG, and if you don't know what SFG, spiritual formation, it's our small groups that we have, our Bible studies. If you were in that, and I think we have a couple that were in this group, one right there, Regina back there. And Caitlin, there you are, yeah. We saw God just speak some beautiful things to me before anybody even knew that I was pregnant. And it was so funny because I had to kind of keep it to myself for a little bit, but God really did show his faithfulness to me through this journey, even at the very beginning. And he's continued to show me his goodness because honestly, it's kind of, I mean, if I let myself go there, it's kind of scary, right? I mean, think about it. I've actually thought about this a couple times, like, wow, the day we leave the doctor after delivering and we're driving and we look in the back seat and there's a person in the back seat in a car seat and we're in charge of keeping it alive, you know, and that's kind of scary. I mean, just thinking about it and the whole idea of parenting and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do and can we really do it? And there's been so many times where I've actually, you know, gone back and forth where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful though, because I mean, it's just awesome. It's incredible. And And God thought that I was worthy enough to be this little dude's mom, right? And I'm constantly in this like battle of, wow, God, this is incredible, too. I can't do this. Like, I can't. And sometimes I find so much relief in saying those words. I find so much relief, and I say that because, oh, let me go to this. Have you ever heard of the saying, God will never lead you to a place that you can't handle, right? Or something like that. God will never put you through something you can't handle on your own. But I've been thinking about that, and I'm like, I kind of disagree with that. Because I believe that if I ever get to a place in life where I can say, I got myself here, I feel like I wouldn't be where God wants me to be. And that's kind of like a good litmus check, you know, whenever, I think, is that the right word? Litmus test. I always say the wrong, yeah, anyways. asking yourself, how did I get here? Did I get here by the grace of God? Or did I get here from my own works? And if there's one thing that I've learned in this pregnancy, and this will probably be the last time I say something about being pregnant, because I know guys are like, okay, whatever, is that I need, more than anything, I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit every step of the way, because I can't do it without him. I can't. And tonight, this is what I really want to talk about. I believe that God is constantly drawing us toward things that we can't handle on our own so that we will fully depend on him. So we fully depend on him. Last week, we spoke about our one word, all right? And if you weren't here, basically, it was just a whole message about instead of doing, you know, like what you're going to accomplish in 2017, it's more what's your one word that you want to cling to this next year? Maybe it's something that you've struggled with that you want to just overcome. Maybe it's something that you want to be. But my word that I chose was courage. And courage is simply the ability to do what you're afraid of. And I'm like, wow, I need that. And if you have a word, I want to encourage you, choose a scripture, a truth that you can anchor to that word and that can keep you grounded throughout the year. And the scripture that I leaned on when I came up with my word courage is Joshua 1:9, and I believe will be on the screen. It says this, "This is my command." This is God speaking, right? "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God, here, let me give you some context to that scripture. God is speaking to Joshua right here. And this is right after Moses dies, and God is appointing Joshua to take his place as leader. All right, and I don't know about you, but if I was to step into the leadership role after Moses, I'd probably be a little intimidated. Like, Moses was a legend, okay? Moses kind of did a lot of crazy things. And if you don't know much about Moses, let's see. He was raised in royalty. He left it because he felt like God told him to leave. He went back to Pharaoh, told him what's up. Pharaoh didn't want to believe him, so God sent all these crazy plagues. I mean, Moses is the guy that had a staff. He threw it on the ground, and it turned into a snake. Right? He walks through the river and the river parts for Moses. Okay, all these crazy supernatural things happen through the leadership of Moses. And then Joshua is next up in line to lead. After 40 years of this crazy, miraculous leader leading, right? And so I can only imagine what he was feeling. I can only imagine like, oh, really? Cool. Can I really step into those shoes? And we know that Joshua was a little afraid. We know there's something going on because God had to reassure him three times of the same thing. Be strong and courageous. He says a few other things and he goes back. Be strong and courageous. And he says it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. But let me tell you where your courage is gonna come from. Your courage isn't gonna come from your own ability. Your courage is gonna come from knowing that I am with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Where do we put our courage? Is it enough that God is with us? Is it enough? You know, because we quickly disqualify ourselves, right? Once we see something that God may be calling us to that's farther than we think we can go, we're like, oh, there's no way I can. I can't. So it's done, right? We do that to ourselves. Or we compare ourselves, like Joshua could have done with Moses. Oh, surely I can't be like that guy. Oh, I'll never be like her because she's extra holy or she's extra something, right? But no, Joshua received a promise from God. He received a promise that he could be courageous because of his presence, because of God's presence with him. And you better believe on day one of the job when he was leading, he held on to those promises. And I bet I could just imagine him saying, all right, God, you said you'd be there. You told me. So I'm going to step out and I'm going to trust. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. Whenever we move forward in what God's called us to do, what's that promise that he's given you that you can speak over yourself when you begin to step out in what God has called you to do? You see, living the Christian life isn't about trusting our own capabilities. It's about being dependent on the one who makes you capable. God sees your weakness. He's not blinded by it. And guess what? He's not hindered by it either. He's not. If anything, we become our own roadblock. He's not hindered by it at all. And for some reason, we think God's afraid of our weaknesses. Like, oh, God can't see. It's going to stop us from being who God's called us to be. But it's so funny because he isn't waiting on you to be perfect. He never has and he never will. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 12, 7, verse 9. Second Corinthians says this, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, this is Paul speaking, okay? He's just saying like, okay, here's the thing. Me and the Holy Spirit, we're pretty connected. He speaks to me and I hear him. I've got a lot of really cool things from God. I've heard his voice, we're good. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. I just want to stay there for a second. What? You know, that sounds kind of like, okay, I have a thorn in my flesh, and we don't really know what that thorn is. All we know that it's really uncomfortable, and he wants it gone, right? Keep going. The next part of that scripture says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what? In weakness. My power works best in weakness. This doesn't really sound like our God, does it, right? Because there's something that's almost like tormenting him and he's begging God to take it away and God says no. I mean, right? Because God delivers us from our pains, right? God delivers us from the things that are bad. But he doesn't take it away. Why? Because he loves when we come to him in our weakness. And so many times we go before God and we ask him to take away these things in our lives, our weaknesses. God, take everything, take all my weaknesses away. Please make me perfect. This is basically what we're asking God to do. And God's like, don't you see? I love that about you. Because guess what? You actually long for me. You long for me. You need me. Don't you see? I'm the answer. If God answered our prayers to make us perfect, where would our need be for him? where would it be? We would walk life. I mean, really, when you think about it, think back at the times that you were closest to the Lord. At least for me, it's like those moments where I was so broken and so low, right? That he was so near. Not that he's closer or farther away from me, but I felt it. I felt the difference. And, you know, it's like if you're asking God to take away all your problems, all your issues, all the things that make you weak, he's probably not going to do it. That's not the point, right? It's not the point. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Paul's over here bragging about it. God is waiting for us to just accept it. To really say, God, I can't. I can't do this anymore. I can't. But guess what? You can. You can. And that's the difference here, because I think some of us stay in the I can't, right? It's easy to stay there, but God can. And getting ourselves to a place of humility where we can say that, where it's no longer us looking at us to be the answer, but it's us looking at God as our answer. Whew, man, this is getting me going. You know, it's like, again, like God isn't hindered by our weakness. He's not. He's not. We become our own roadblock. We do. And I think, here's the thing. This all sounds great, but it doesn't register in our mind. Like, okay, we'll celebrate our weaknesses. Let's all get together and just celebrate it. Just talk about it. We don't. We hate sharing our weaknesses. We hate it. It's like, no! And what happens is we feel like we have to walk out in public fake. I mean, we do, because none of us are perfect. Look around the room. Guess what? We're all imperfect people. We all have weaknesses. It's great. I mean, whenever I say that to my students all the time, I teach public speaking, and they're usually really afraid to give a speech. And I'm like, take a moment and look around the room. Everybody feels the same exact way. Isn't it great? Okay, anyway, so that helps me every now and then when I realize I'm imperfect and everybody else is as well. Sorry, I go off on, yeah. So why is it so hard for us to share our weaknesses? Why? I mean, Paul's over here telling us to boast about it. Why can't we own it? Because our security so oftentimes is based on what other people think of us. We think things like, oh, people won't like me, or people are going to think this about me, or people are going to, and because of that, it keeps us from being free. And God calls us to let go of our false security, not to punish us, not to make us feel bad, but to simply purify us. I share this story often because it's just a big part of my story, and it's one of those rare things in my life where I feel like I've kind of just overcome through the grace of God. And it's my people-pleasing story. I tell this a lot, so if you're close, you probably have heard this several times. But I was a chronic people-pleaser just a few years back. I mean, to the point where I was a slave to what people thought about me. And it was so bad that I just remember one day, I just broke down because I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, I was just so stressed out because everybody around me was happy besides me. Right? Because I was being pulled in this. And it just hit me one day. I was like, I can't. Something has to change. And what changed in my heart was realizing that I would always be insecure. I would always be insecure if I lived in fear of the disapproval of man. I would never grow in my security as a person if that was always an issue for me. And this will be on the screen, I believe, and write this down, remember it. I mean, because sometimes this is painful. This is not an easy process to go through, but Jesus will ask us to let go of what makes us, Jesus will ask us to let go of what makes us secure if our security is placed in something other than him. Okay? This is a painful process. This isn't easy because your security is really what makes you secure as a person, right? And of course, it doesn't have to be what mine was, but a lot of times I feel like we fall into that category, right? And I finally surrendered. It didn't happen overnight, but it was close to it. When I had that moment of realizing, I can't live like this anymore. When I realized that my security was to be placed in God, I was able to really value myself and value those around me way better than I could just from a simple yes, right? I had to make the decision to move forward. And when the heart message behind this is really this, you guys. Your surrendered heart is an invitation for God to use you. Your surrendered heart is an invitation for God to use you. And I know we talked about this earlier in our VR, in our leadership meeting, that surrender can be kind of like a vague term, right? What does that really mean? And it means something different for everyone. But it simply means this: what do you need to lay down before God? What do you need to say, I can't anymore about? What is it? What is it that needs to be put before the feet of Jesus so that he can make you secure again? And that's something I do want you to wrestle with. I want you to think about, because some of you just need to confess it. Some of you just need to speak it out to God, to a community of people. I can't, but you can. And that's the difference. Don't stay there. Don't stay at the I can't, because you can with him. He's worthy. He's worthy of your trust in this area. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Even if he leads you to the scariest of places. Because where God leads you is kind of scary sometimes, at least for our flesh. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 23, says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close to me. I will not be afraid because you are close to me. He guides us at times into dark valleys. And for some reason, we believe that when we enter into a dark valley, a dark place, that God's no longer with us, right? When things start getting a little rough or a little bad or a little scary or a little whatever, the insert is, all of a sudden, God's not near. Where's God? God's far from me. But that's not the case at all, right? Here's a promise that we can hold on to. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, even when, and that's actually right after he's saying that you guide me to right paths, right? I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. What delivers us from our fear is his presence. And his presence is with you always. Cling to that truth when you're afraid. Cling to that truth when you're in a dark valley. He hasn't left you, and he won't. It's not that kind of God. It's pretty cool. So we can trust his guidance over our own. We can. He's worth it. And he won't let you down. And kind of like what I've been saying, sometimes knowing that it's scary, coming to that realization that this is scary, is kind of a realization that that's from God. Because what God calls you to, I promise you this, will require faith. Okay? And when God calls you to something that requires faith, that can be scary. Because you can't see the things that are ahead of you. In other words, if God just called us to do what is comfortable, our faith has no room to grow. Be okay with God leading you out of your comfort. Be okay with God leading you where it may hurt sometimes. Knowing that he's with you and he hasn't left you. I mean, consider this. The Bible says something along the lines of do not be afraid 365 times. I mean, that's a lot. What is that, like one for every day of the year? Do not be afraid. Because he knew that our flesh is terrified of where God will lead us. Our flesh likes the comfort. Our flesh doesn't like to be stretched. But God knows that we're called to something bigger. God's calling will rid you from all pride. It'll bring you to a place of humility because you can't accomplish what God's called you to without him. Your need for him. And I just want to ask you guys, what is it that is keeping you from complete surrender? What is it that you need to lay down and say, God, I can't do this anymore. But I need you to come through for me. Because you will. Because I can trust you. Regardless of where I am. Regardless of the season. You are faithful. You're a good God. You're a good God. And I promise you, on the other side of your dependent heart, fully surrendered to God, is your God-given destiny. And you're only going to get there if you're willing to say, God, I'm okay with my weakness. I'm okay with not having everything all together. And guess what, God? I guess you work best when I'm weak anyways. So let's do this. Stop letting the enemy tell you you're not good enough. You're too weak. That makes no sense to God. That's what he wants in his children. You are not disqualified before the Father. He says that you can. He says that over you. So right before we go into worship, I want us to stand. And I want us to just posture ourselves before God. And whatever that looks like for you, for me, it's just laying my hands open before him. And I want to ask you a question. Will you embrace your weakness like God does? Will you say, I am not enough, but you are God? And I don't want to get where I'm going on my own strength. I want to get there on yours. God, I thank you for every person in this room, God. I pray right now that you'd give them the courage to come before you and say, God, I'm going to lay it down again. I'm going to lay down my weakness. And though you may not always take it away, God, I pray that you would fill every person right now who would surrender to you. And God, I thank you for your truth. That no matter where you lead us, no matter where we find ourselves, God, you will never, ever leave us. God, you've called each person to something great in here, greater than they can even ask or think. Give them the faith to trust you, God. even when it's scary. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your goodness.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more information, visit our website, linknwa.com. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.